This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
But I didn't, I had always wondered if he was there. And I asked and was, yeah. And I always took that to mean he was not visible.
Yeah. I like I said, you got firsthand knowledge, so I believe you. It was a clip that I saw from, it was like a 2-minute clip. And Pablo was like,
I'm sure everything Pablo found out was 100% true. Like, I don't think you saw him. I don't think he was, because I think he knew. He wasn't going to be visible.
Yeah.
He knew that from jump.
He just said, like, nobody that he talked to has any recollection of him being there, whether they saw him firsthand or heard that he was there. He said, nobody does. Once again, that doesn't mean he wasn't there, but that's just the people. And he talked to producers of ESPN and, you know, people who were the whole notion of he didn't want to be on TV, the camera, we never got anything like that. We don't know. Somebody was like, there were more people more definitive. Like, if he was there, he was in ghost mode because there's no way he was there. So I don't know. I never thought it was that big of a deal.
Yeah, like, not saying, you know, to you, like, what does it even matter if he was or wasn't at this point now? Like, public tour doing a podcast.
I think for some reason I have a vague, this is so weird to bring up 5 years later, I have a vague recollection of him saying, I chose to mourn this my own way, or something like
I remember that.
I feel like someone asked him directly if he was there, and his response was something along those lines. And I think some people, whether fair or not, took it as a maybe Vanessa didn't ask him to speak, and he took that opportunity to stay away, maybe not out of the Staples Center, but like away from the celebration. I don't know that any of that is true, but I do know I asked and was told he was there.
Never thought about this. Like, I never thought about whether, like, I remember in the moment. Since then, like, I thought it was weird Stephen A. brought it up. Like, it never mattered to me. And yeah, I apparently there's people it didn't matter to or who've thought about it a lot.
It's a weird thing for Stephen A. to bring up in the midst of all of this. It's a really,
it's like,
weird.
You're trying to attack his character or something.
Yeah, it's a really, it's a really weird diss track to try to drop. Like, don't do that. This is very literal life and death. Like, right. Don't invoke Kobe's name into this.
Well, if he wasn't there too, like, what are you trying to say about LeBron then?
Well, the way I would have taken it with him saying that is that Kobe had an issue with you. You guys weren't cool, and Kobe had a reason for having an issue with you. That's how I took LeBron saying something like, or excuse me, Stephen A. saying something like that. And much like Jesse just said, like, man, don't do that. Man, this we're talking about the man's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever little point you're trying to make doesn't matter in that respect. Don't bring Kobe's memorial service into whatever little sorry beef you got with him. That, it was weird. I thought it was whack. And it was completely unnecessary, in my opinion. But once again, I never thought about whether he was there or not.
You think Stephen A. took it up a notch since he got his deal? He's talking a little bit more freely?
I don't know. It's just been that one moment.
I think that's him. I just think this isn't like with KD. KD probably hit the ignore button with him pretty quick. And you can get a lot more attraction out of LeBron than you can Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, not talking about basketball, just Kevin Durant headline-wise, isn't the same. Like, LeBron is, you know, one of the two greatest to ever do it. If you need traction, you can get it with him.
Right.
And he had a few different points where he could keep getting traction with it. So,
right. and
the game, I guess.
Once again, anytime I was gonna put it, like, if LeBron swung on me, I would have put my hands on him. Like, who even brought that up?
Because people probably were talking about in that moment.
Yeah, we don't LeBron acknowledge that, like, as a media LeBron person. Like, yeah. You're going to listen to the Twitter people, oh, yeah, LeBron, blah, blah, blah. Like, what are you doing?
I'll say this about Stephen A. He did say, he reiterated, he said, yeah, I would have swung, I would have gotten my ass beat, but I would have defended myself.
But why are we, like, why, like, what made you, like, why was that a discussion?
Yeah, you don't acknowledge that.
Like, did you really think LeBron James was going to swing, like, at Madison Square Garden?
Crypto,
sorry. Yeah. Did you really think LeBron James was going to swing on you?
Come on, man. What are we doing?
Like, come on, dog. Like, stop it.
Yeah, what are we doing? Stop it. And also, I just want to reiterate, because I don't really have no problem with Pablo Torre. From what I could gather, it was nothing nefarious with how he was. I think he has a show where he tries to.
He does. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kyle sent me Wilt.
That's right.
The 100-point game. That's a Pablo show.
Yeah.
I love Pablo.
So I think that's all this was. Like, this was topical, and he was like, all right, well, let's see.
I'm all for that.
So that's all it was. He wasn't picking a side or trying to get at LeBron or nothing like that.
I do wonder if he asked, because I know there was a room for NBA people to meet. Or rooms. There was an area for NBA people to meet. I do wonder if he spoke to anyone in there. Because I get asking the producers, that's easy. You know, the request, I guess, again, the guest list is weird. It's not the people who were invited. That's not, I think the guest list is the people who were performing and the people who had a role in the ceremony. Because, again, the teams didn't know exactly who would be there. Like the morning of.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Hi, Pablo says he spoke to 8 high-level sources who were involved with Kobe's memorial, and they say LeBron wasn't there.
And you'd be whispering into that mic sometimes.
Oh, me? Sometimes I'd be getting too loud.
I know. Like, I'm leaning over here, pulling the mic up and down.
DJ Dane.
Man. Yeah, I gave up on Casey's mic.
One more time?
I gave up on Casey's mic.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, what's talking to Charlie? Hey, we got to get the mics fixed. They're
So this is what y'all don't know. I'm the one who gets pulled aside and goes, hey, man, how come we can't hear Kenny? That's just how Kenny talks,
brought
man.
Brought it to me. He's like, yeah, the tribal chief was asking about Kenny. I was like, yeah, Charlie, like, I pot him up and he's too high.
So that's the other thing. That was the tribal chief's little thing. Yeah. How could, you know, sometimes Kenny overmodulates. Well, God damn it, Aaron, there's nothing I can do about it. 1 minute. He's whispering sweet nothings to us, and the next minute, he's going through 7 different impressions.
What do you want from me? I'm trying.
I mean,
we're just trying, Casey. You know who they haven't talked to?
Casey?
Right. They wouldn't dare. They going to come to me. They going to come to you.
What do you mean they wouldn't dare?
They wouldn't dare.
I'm approachable.
Literally, Damian will try to slide it. I see it. I got the virtual board right here.
Who you think is more looked at as being approachable, me or Damian, in this building?
I think they're scared of you, Dan.
No, ain't nobody scared of me.
They used to be.
Nobody's scared of me.
Maybe we got enough people in the building now.
There's one person in this building that's scared of me.
No. Mia.
That's what, yeah, like I said, we got some people out of here. I don't know if they still are scared of you. I mean, we did walk in the tribal chief's office one time and lay down the law.
That was one of my favorite days ever. To walk into a meeting that was not scheduled with no warning whatsoever. Walk in, three guys, one dude sitting down, shut the door. Hey.
Yeah, so I was just like, what's up?
It got crazy.
Damn it, we got stuff done.
Well, Zabo talking about the BS show here ain't here no more. So, I mean, hey, it's funny.
Hey, man.
All the people we don't like just managed to be gone.
I
already said it.
We like two of the three.
We're the click. Well.
Shout out Nikki. Shout out Nelson.
Oh, Nikki and Nelson. Yeah, that was not part of the deal.
We're supposed to save them.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out them.
Said, get me out of those Monday 9:30 meetings, please, or I'm done.
Well, that was scary.
That
was scary because I thought you were talking about somebody because Jesse was looking like Tupac and Juice in the elevator every morning meeting with PDX.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, every my God. I was starting every Monday at 9 o'clock, pissed off. You guys don't know.
Do you know that reference I'm talking about?
Yeah.
For those watching, this would be the meeting. It'd be like, you know, we're all on the screen, right? And we're talking, and we'll just bring the four screen up. PDX is over there. And we're just talking. Like, yeah. All right, guys. Well, have a good show. And Jesse would be gone.
Like, say bye, hi, nothing. Just staring darts the whole
gone.
Time.
The whole time, sorry, radio, but the whole time, Jesse was.
Yep.
Silent. Jesse, you got anything? No.
Oh, man.
Literally walked in like, hey, this isn't working. Okay.
He let me know if I wanted to go to the PK80 anytime I want to go. I'm up there.
Throw it on the list.
PK80?
Like, yeah, the Phil Knight Invitational joint.
Oh.
So I got to hit him up.
Oh, you're talking about PDX. I thought you were talking about the Tribal Chief.
Oh, no, the Tribal No.
Oh, well.
Real life, we're talking about it now. I still get mad.
No.
I still get mad. I'm still pissed off.
So what pisses Jesse off? The Kings. Retro references to PDX. And then useless staff meetings caused by...
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
One singular employee's mishap.
Facts, that's it. I'm a pretty easygoing guy.
You are. But you are the Jeff. You're the real Jeff Jarrett of the group. Don't piss me off.
We're just not here for the nonsense, bro.
Jesse's like, no, I'm, hey, Jesse, you got anything to add? Yeah, I'd like to do my job. Dude, Jesse
That's
literally,
a shoot too. That's a
Jesse
shoot.
Literally said that in a meeting. You know, Aaron's trying to be funny. The tribal chief's trying to be funny. Yeah, anyone got anything? Jesse, you got anything? Yeah, I'd like to go do my job. Okay. I guess meeting is adjourned.
That's hilarious, man.
Eddie Gonzalez joins us next. We'll talk basketball with him. We'll talk this upcoming summer. We'll talk about a variety of different things. Steelo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. I thought I told him. I guess I didn't. Did anyone tell Eddie? Is Eddie with us?
He's got the link.
Did everybody just say the hell with D'Lo and Casey today except for Leezy? Do we need to start FaceTiming people to get them on the show?
Maybe.
FaceTime Danny in San Francisco. Hey, Danny.
Remember us?
Danny, we did an hour on an expensive dinner. What do you think? Huh?
Oh, guys, I don't think that's gonna fly. Can we talk about Luis Matos a little bit more?
Talk about Joey Bart. Joey Bart's getting called up. Okay.
Man.
Like, lead with that.
Yo, that was for real early thing in the show. All right, Joey Bart's getting called up. Like, all right, dude. All right.
That's a real story.
That's awesome. What's up, Eddie?
Oh, man. What's good?
We got Friday vibes, bro.
Chill. Don't do that.
You're getting fined for that, bro. Relax.
I want to ask, Dame, you could take a second, you know, drink the smoothie real quick. I want to ask Eddie a quick question. Jesse will help out too. Somebody asked us a question that I thought was pretty cool. Of the May 2nd card at Times Square between Ryan, Haney, and Tio, who would you say is most likely to lose their fight? I said T.O. I don't think T.O. any of them will. Fight. Yeah, I don't think any of them will. But if I had to pick one, I'd say T.O.
T.O.'s fighting the best comp, so I'll say him. I think I'll put Haney second because I really think his chin is Amir Khan. So I think you can never count out Ryan, too, because he's just volatile. So
yeah,
they should all win easy, but they're all – such wild card. This worked.
Them some wild boys. Yeah, some wild boys. You gonna go to that or try to go to that?
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna hit the plug and see. But okay. The plug flaked last time. So.
Oh no! All right, Dame, you can come back in.
No, I'm with Eddie on this one though. Yeah, I'm with Eddie.
You gotta just lock in with us.
No, I do. Like if Kenny tells me to watch something, I do. He hasn't told me in a long time. I think he just gave up on me.
Well, no, there just hasn't really been anything.
Oh.
Ain't really been. Like, there have been fights that I watched, but something where I would tell Dave, like, no, you got to watch this. Nah. Tank fought
once last
year.
Are y'all doing WrestleMania? Is it close enough to go?
We had planned for a year to go when we thought it was Rock and Roman. When we thought that was going to be the headliner, we're like, we're going to Vegas.
Yeah.
And then it became obvious pretty quickly that that wasn't going to be it. And I think we all just stopped talking about it.
Yeah. Prices got crazy, too.
The homie just hit me like he got tickets, but it's like, it's kind of short notice. It's Vegas. I don't know if I need to be in Vegas for a weekend.
Well, I mean, ain't nothing wrong with Vegas for a week. Come on, man. What we doing?
It's a busy trip. It's a busy trip. First weekend of the playoffs too.
Like, that's a yeah.
Well, you ain't got to worry about it.
It's well. Okay. Hey.
All right. Well, that ain't the pot yelling at the kettle. Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's not good, man. It's not good.
It's ugly. It is so nasty over here, man. Like those to the Wizards, who Damian pointed out, and it's. That these guys weren't even trying to win. Jordan Poole didn't play like the last 20 minutes of the game. And they still got
and that's
you.
One of the ones, like, we looked at the schedule and was like, okay, they'll win that one. They'll win. And it wasn't even like this. I think it was a 10-point game, but it wasn't even all that close. Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't even all that energetic. It was just like, all right, this is what's going on. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's – them boys is ready. The crazy part is they still might not be able to fall back far enough for the Suns. So it was like, y'all going to have to play Dallas either way.
I asked the question, Eddie – yesterday, and you, like, for real, like, you can say what you feel you can say. But I said, why wouldn't they just shut him down? Like, all these reports coming out talking about Kevin Durant, all these reports coming out that, yeah, he's gone in the summer and this team was interested during the trade deadline and no rehash talks, you know, this summer. And like, he's it feels like he's done in Phoenix. Why even bring him back?
So I thought that earlier. I wondered if they would, again, you don't want to run the risk of, you're going to trade them. You don't want to run the risk of getting them hurt. But, I mean, the realest answer is they have nothing to lose for. They don't have their pick. There's no incentive for them to lose. They actually need to win as many games as they can and try to get in the play-in and try to salvage whatever they have. They're the highest payroll in the league. You probably shouldn't be punting any games. Now, do you look at it now and say, okay, we're eliminated? Do we run risk of further injury by forcing him back? Or if you're Kevin, I'll tell y'all what I said. And you could make whatever you want of this. I called him the day after he got hurt. I said, hey, big dog, you might want to just shut it down. He laughed at me, but I'm like, yeah, man, you might want to just start your summer and get it going. Like, what, you know? And he laughed and he was noncommittal. But me personally, I'm like, what's left to go back to? Right. I'm teasing him. He's not going to make all NBA. So I said, yo, it only works good for me. I get to talk a little bit more trash because that's one less all NBA on your resume. But I don't know. There's rumors he may come back Wednesday. They're trying to get him back out there. He needs to play 3 more games, and I think he would make all NBA. I don't know if I'm him and that's my leg. That's enough for me to come back and play through that for, because that was a tough turn. He's turned it a few times this year. He's dealt with a few different injuries. You know, I want Buddy to come out healthy at the end of the day. So that's why I'm teasing him and saying, you might as well just start the summer, but
that was a real bad.
He a competitor though. Like, I mean, when push comes to shove, is that what this is about? Like, he's a competitor. This is what he wants to do.
Yeah. I mean, he told me instantly, like, you know, ankles, it could be a day, it could be a week. I ain't really nothing out. And they left it at that. So, you know, he turned it this same ankle a while back, and I think it was 11 days he missed. And so he turned it literally 2 weeks to the end of the season. So it was like it was going to be tough either way. But, yeah, he's a competitor. He wants to be out there. He wants to play. We just saw Jason Tatum go through the same thing. Thanks to y'all. Thanks to Domas. Oh,
well, chill.
But, now, like, he warmed up, was felt good, looked good, was mad as hell. They didn't let him play. And so sometimes it's out of your hands. But I think if it's in Kevin's hands, you know, I've told the story before. When he turned his ankle in warmups, it was supposed to be his first game at home. I flew out there. I was all geeked.
I remember that.
That was crazy.
And he turned his ankle in warmups, and he texted me from the locker room. He's like, Doug, I might not play. I'm like, it was that bad. He's like, bro, it's like golf. It's like a grapefruit right now. I'm like, man. He's like, I'm gonna try to play though. I'm like, all right. So he tells me the story afterwards because he obviously doesn't play. He goes, yeah. I would have went out there, but the whole thing was like they had to wrap my ankle. So like I was going to have to show the trainer eventually. So he waited to the very last second and then went to just get his ankles wrapped like nothing, was trying not to limp. And the trainer was like, are you serious right now? Sit your ass. What? And then that was it. He was shut down for the day. So sometimes it's out your hands, but these dudes want to play every game, man. Yeah. And it just is what it is.
That was the night we were at AEW.
That's right. You ever been to an AEW show before?
Nah, they invited me to the one they had at the tennis joint.
Arthur Ashe. Yeah.
Arthur Ashe. Yeah. But I want to go. Like, I'm a WWE guy, but I kind of like, I want to see one of these shows live and kind of laugh at the whole scene. But
we laughed quite a bit that night. It could be heard. It reverberated throughout the Golden One Center. They should stay out by you. Stay should. Out there. They might not quite.
And
be
that
ready
was
for
when
it.
They still had Jade, and they had the nerve to not have Jade.
They
come
put
out
Jade
there.
On the screen.
I said, "Are you crazy?" I almost left right then. And
they
there.
Put Jade on the screen.
I know that's why you went.
And had Ricky Starks get his ass kicked. Yeah, it was like, what
he
are
didn't
we
even come down to the ring?
What are we even here for?
Yeah, well, the guys, the Scissor Me Daddy guys.
Hey, Uncle D-Lo, what's Scissor Me Daddy mean? Is it his son asked dad, what's that mean? I don't know. Ask your own. Ask Uncle D-Lo. Oh, it's just a thing that they say.
Oh, man.
Anyways. Man. Yeah, so we're fighting for mediocrity here. We're fighting for mediocrity. Yeah. But you opened up. You opened up doing the gun salute. Are we adding? We've talked about Giannis a little bit. We've talked about you know KD and this summer. Are we adding Ja Morant to the list of names to watch this summer?
I had got a call. The deadline's Thursday. I got a call on Tuesday. It was like, hey, have you heard about this? I'm like, what? It was like, just ask around about Ja Morant. I was like, all right. Asked around about Ja Morant. Apparently, Ja Morant's name got waved around a little bit. Now, I will say these conversations happen a lot. Like, there's calls all the time, guys running to each other places. But apparently, this is how the Luka trade started, right? They had lunch and they said, man, would you do something for Luka? And then Rob goes, yeah, hell yeah. But, like, come on. But yeah, apparently, Ja Morant's name got waved around a little bit at the deadline. And I was shocked, but. Now your coach is fired and now, you know, all this stuff's going on. It seems like there's a bit of a regime change there. I think the elephant in the room is that they're going to have to pay Jaren Jackson a lot of money pretty soon. Yeah. And it's become clear. We're not paying multiple max, huge, humongous contracts on one team within this CBA. So I've heard a few different scenarios. I think there's a few different teams where he looks great. The one is just like, this is straight out of my head. I've never heard nothing about this, but like, man, wouldn't he be great on that Houston Rockets team? Like, wouldn't he just be fun on that team, running up and down with them dudes and just bothering the whole league? But yeah, I mean, I think this summer is going to be a lot of moving and shaking. I think Kevin will be the first domino. A lot of rumors about Giannis, but Ja will be mentioned. Trae Young will be mentioned. Karl-Anthony Towns will be mentioned. A lot of these dudes are sitting in places and just kind of ready and ripe for the moving. I think the Celtics are the big question mark as well, because they've been pretty open about, look, they need to get under the apron. And they got a couple digestible contracts with Kristaps Porzingis, with Jrue Holiday. Sam Hauser has a nice contract, and I think it's due for some new money. So it's a lot going on. I think the summer is going to be like what we used to see with the deadline, where it's going to be so much moving and shaking, and this year is going to be the first year of that.
Do you we got a call earlier and you know, obviously they were talking about for the Kings, and I'll ask you for the Kings, but just in general, Ja, Zion, Trae Young, all three are available. If you had your choice of, you know, a team that's trying to elevate, like who would you take in that scenario if you could only take one?
Now, I'm a big Trae Young truther. I think Trae Young might be the most underrated player in the league right now. I think he's the efficient offense under himself. I love Trae Young. But if I'm going like the highest ceiling possible, I'm going to go with Zion there. I can't unsee him just being unguardable every time we play. I can't unsee just, yo, if I got him in the best shape of his life, we got a top 10 dude. Like, we have a dude like nobody can do nothing with. That would be my pick. But look, you can't go wrong. And I think somebody's going to hit well on one of these guys in a buy low situation where it's just teams are just trying to get out of it. And I've seen rumors about the Nets. Nets have all these picks and all this stuff going on. But yeah, that would be my order. I would go Zion, then I would go Trae. I just love Trae. My worries with Ja is the injuries, which I know is hypocritical because I just said Zion was first, but the ceiling is so much higher.
James was talking about earlier how he's, you know, the word around the league is people really believe Zion will like flourish in his next stop. Like, he'll get it, it'll work, and he'll figure it out. And he said, that's what the word is around the league. And that's what the Pelicans believe too. That's why they're not giving them up yet.
Yeah, understandable.
They're like, he's going to, but that's such a tough situation to be in. because it's almost like a relationship. Right? Like, this person is great. They're going to be great in their next relationship. It's not going to work with me. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I wanted to, it is not going to work with me. But they're going to be great for the next person. That's probably how the Pelicans are looking at it. Like, but at the same time, you know it's not going to work there, right? So, like, what are we holding on for? But it's a tough conundrum to be in.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. I mean, the change of scenery has done well for so many dudes. Like, we've seen this across sports, not just basketball. Sometimes it is that, just the right coach, or you kind of fast track where he's at. You put him on a better team, a winning team, or you put him on a team that's more dedicated to him. Again, just a change of scenery. Sometimes that works. That reinvigorates a guy. The thing with Zion is I don't think we've seen healthy him in so long. We kind of forget it. And some of it's his fault with the weight. Mm-hmm. Some of it is stuff that just happens. But if you listen to the rumors and the conversations around him, he puts a lot of blame in the Pelicans' hands. Mm-hmm. And whether it's their training staff or what have you, he's just not happy with the way they've handled him. So he's one of them dudes. Yeah, I agree. Change of scenery is going to do a lot for him. And he's one of the most heralded prospects we ever had in the history of the league. And so that's still there within him, still a young dude. I would love to see him get a new start somewhere else and hopefully reach like peak form of what he is.
The killer part of this, Eddie, is every one you just named from, you know, with Giannis probably being the exception, but you talk about Katie, Ja, Trey, even Kat to a certain degree, you know, to use a line Kenny uses sometimes, everyone's got warts. Like, all of these guys have something that their fan bases will pick apart, something that I'm sure the front offices will pick apart, something where everyone is like, yeah, but. And for you, Zion is the one where you'll deal with the yeah, but. Like, if you're willing to accept that, that's your number one guy this summer.
Yeah, and again, it goes to the age, it goes to, you know, what the potential is. I think there's also a little bit of the ability to sell tickets, right? He's still an attraction. Mm-hmm. And if your team, we'll use the Kings. You put Zion on that scene, it's the biggest star that's been in the city since when? You know, and you
Chris,
can build around that.
Mitch,
you,
like, yeah.
Jason Williams.
Yeah.
You build around the idea that, and you know, again, as an organization, you really lock in and hope to get on the right path with his health and with his training and with his fitness. But you can sell that. You can sell that dream. You know, some Charles tell Stringer? We live on that lie. Like, that's what we do. So you can do that. And that's why I'd say that. Ja has, like you said, he has his warts. I love Ja. I love watching Ja. He's one of the more fun players in the league. Same with Trey. But I think, again, Zion, there's that mystery box element of, like, yo, this is the guy from the video. Like, this is the guy who his shoe exploded because he's so amazing. Like,
right.
There's some blockbuster to that. There's that old 2010-11 Blake Griffin excitement. Mm-hmm. And you can sell that with a new team, I think. So there's a lot to it. I really just want to see it. I want to see the best version of him.
Yeah. Did that game last night say anything to you? I'm talking about Lakers-Warriors. Warriors kind of – they were in command of that game the entire way. Lakers haven't looked – like we thought they might since LeBron went out. Even when he came back, it's been a little up and down. Did last night say anything to you about either team?
Yeah. I mean, look, the Warriors are legit. We watched them beat up on some bad teams for a while and wonder what would they look like when they played this person and that person. And then they've had some tough losses as well. But they went into that gym, one they've historically been up and down in, and Steph has been up and down in, and they took them dudes on head on and look great. You know, all the guys, you know, you get big performances obviously from pods, but you know, you trust on your veterans to do that. And I think they're just, they match up so well with the Lakers that it's tough with this version of the Lakers. When you watch the Lakers, not the greatest Luka game. He's had a few games back to back that have been really good, so it wasn't the greatest Luka. You hate to see LeBron and Austin play as well as they did and shoot as well as they did and lose that game. Mm-hmm. But my main takeaway from that is, like, the Lakers are obviously dedicated to this small lineup, bunch of 6'8 dudes and Austin Reeves. That has its issues. It's not like the Warriors are going really big on you, but if you're not going to be crazy strong defensive with that lineup, they're going to pick it apart, you know, and that's kind of what you got last night. And people are blaming Luka, but I think there's a lot of blame to go around. Mm-hmm. So it was a tough matchup for them. I hope we get that series. They're lined up right now to get a series. I hope we get that series. But I just don't believe in this small lineup for the Lakers. They only played Jackson Hayes 15 minutes last night. They won't play any other center on their roster. They've decided this is what we're doing. LeBron at center or Rui at center, depending on how you want to look at it. And that worries me going into the playoffs. I had a tweet about it last night and kind of got yelled at. But, again, I'm confident in the playoffs. A couple of these teams will just stay big. Jaren Jackson will just stay on the floor. And we'll just out-rebound you over and over and over. Same for, obviously, Jokic. Same for the Thunder. Like, these are three teams they may potentially play, and they're just – I think they're just going to stare at them and stay big. So I think that's something to watch out for. Unless LeBron and Luka are going to be much better on defense, it's going to be an issue on and on and on.
I think the Warriors are good, Eddie. Like, I think they're – I think they're for real.
They showed
like,
me some last
I
night.
I think they're for real good.
Yeah, I think it's – look, this is why I wanted Jimmy Butler on the Suns so bad. It's not that Jimmy Butler is this megastar player, but he fills so many gaps. You know, he's guarding Austin Reeves last night. He's running the offense, and that way Draymond can be off ball and setting his screens and running secondary offense and stuff like that. He's getting the guys together. He's amping them up. Like, all these little small things, and then he's chipping in buckets, winning where he can. He just fixed so much of what they had wrong, and he slid everybody down a peg a little bit. Now you need a little bit less from Jonathan Kuminga, and he only has a little bit less responsibility, so that helps. It makes it easier for him. Same for Brandon Podziemski, and on they have these three different centers that they like playing for different reasons, and obviously they got Steph Curry, and that's a dangerous team. And I'm somebody who believes in champion experience and experience of just tough games and getting through adversity, and who has more in the league than those guys. It's scary. It's scary. And if they get to that second round matchup with the Thunder, I will be seated for every single second. I need to see what happens.
Dame has been on it for a while now, and I've been resistant to it. I didn't see it that same way, but I was really impressed by their performance last night. And like I said, they were in command of that game pretty much the entire way. And I don't know if I want to say championship just yet, but they're a lot better than maybe I thought they were a week ago, you know, that I gave them credit for a week ago. That's a good team, man. And and a run isn't out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, they have a defensive ceiling that I think is going to bother any team they're going to play. Can they win the West? Yeah. Can they beat the vaunted Boston Celtics out of the East? I don't know what to see. Yeah. They've done it before, so yeah. – Won't put it past them.
Luckiest damn title in history. I'm going to scoop your heat a little bit with Steph and LeBron, greatest rivalry of all time.
In the NBA?
Yeah.
We talked about this.
I mean,
for like
I think of this
minutes.
Era for sure. I think of this era for sure. It's defined so much basketball the last 10 years, 12 years. So it's hard to not say them. If you want to be a little broader, I guess you could say Celtics Lakers. I guess you could say Magic Bird. I'm a big Isaiah Jordan guy. Like, I kind of love the energy of that.
In that order, you just went 1, 2, and 3 because we had to work through this.
we spent about 40 minutes.
Yeah,
on this.
We had to work through this a little bit. I do think Steph and LeBron, because of the four finals and the way that those two have like been intertwined in this generation, I'd put it 1. Bird and Magic, I think, is a fair number 2. And KC talked me into it. I wasn't there at first, but when we started looking at stuff and then, you know, realizing the, you know, to use the rest of the real heat that these two have still here today, like Jordan, I put Jordan and Isaiah at, I think the line, I put Jordan and Isaiah at 3 with the option to move them
the
to 2.
The option is funny.
Yeah, the option to move them to 2.
That's kind of exactly where I stood, because I started thinking about it. I'm like, man, we always kind of gloss over Mike losing a game 7, and you know who he lost it to Zeke. So it's like that. Then that beef has lived for 30 years now, and then they didn't have the sit down that Kobe and Shaq had. They, you know, that's still going.
Oh, they
on.
Had them. They were just separate. Isaiah had his sit down, and Michael had his tablet. That was the sit down those two had.
And it's like you said, it's so much been at stake, and these guys run into each other in the finals. Now they're in the same conference. They've had play-in games versus each other. They've played other playoff series against each other. They beat each other. They've lost. Obviously, they have all these additional characters, but they've remained the faces of this league. And we argue about that all the time. But, you know, them, and then alongside Kevin. And I think Kevin elevated to that status when he became a part of that conversation. So it's just encapsulated the league for over a decade. I don't think we've ever had that. Even the Magic and Bird thing, we had gaps, we had breaks, we had guys emerging, but it's just been them. Even when they didn't win, it's still been them. They're the story of the league. So I would say that. And the crazy part is, like, it's almost not even a rivalry anymore. They're like super friendly and cool, and gone are the days when they're cussing each other out on the court and LeBron's blocking his shot even though the game's over. So I'm kind of sad we lived long enough for them to be buddies, but yeah, I guess.
Hey, we could talk about this another day in depth, or maybe not, but I'm a little bit of an Isaiah Thomas truther. I think Isaiah Thomas is underrated.
I'm a doubter.
And when you talk about Isaiah Thomas, he beat all them dudes, all them guys of that time. He
Magic,
got them.
Larry.
Yeah, he got them. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
And he doesn't turn his ankle, then we're talking about like even more. So it's, dude's a legend. I met him. I told him, like, yo, I was super happy to have met him and told him that, yo, you're the GOAT. Like, pound for pound, whatever, but like, you're that guy. And I think it's like, let's not let him get washed away by time. Like, Isaiah was that dude.
He kind of does it himself.
He also does. He also does television broadcasts like this sometimes, where he's just like out of the frame and, just sitting over here talking. It's like, Zeke, scoot over. Is part of Isaiah's the washing away is part of, but maybe Isaiah not getting the respect he's due from people like me, is part of it that his team had an identity. Mm-hmm. Like, you might not think of Isaiah first. Yeah. You think of the Detroit Bad Boys. Yeah. And you could say the same thing about the Lakers, right? The Showtime Lakers, but you almost always reference Magic. Mm-hmm. Magic in the Showtime Lakers. No one really says Isaiah in the Detroit Bad Boys. Right. They say the Bad Boys of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we should. He's the Chicago dude whose mama was bringing that thing to the game in her purse with some chicken. He's that dude. He's the reason why that team was what that was. But yes, you're right. I think much like the 04 Pistons, we turned them into a group of guys rather than this is the band and he was, the lead singer. But yeah, I mean, I think when you go back, you look back, the numbers have all been fluctuated and they're all funky and stuff now because we think of that team as a defensive team. But Isaiah was he was the key cog of that machine. And he always good in my book. When they be having that point guard conversation, I'm like, y'all putting people above him a little too quick for me. So
he three.
That's just, I'm on the same boat.
Behind Magic and Steph. I put Steph as a point guard. And not in that order. Maybe it is. I don't know. But just saying those two.
Is Chris Paul fourth?
Yeah, he's got to be behind Isaiah. And I love Chris Paul, but he's got to be. Isaiah got two of them things.
I hate putting Steph as a point guard. It doesn't feel fair. Like, it doesn't even feel right. I mean, he is. It just doesn't feel right. Eddie, go enjoy the weekend, man. We appreciate you. Thank you, as always.
I appreciate y'all, fellas, man. Yes, good talking to y'all.
Yes, man.
Go Kings. I kind of want to get this over with.
Next Friday.
Thank you.
Next Friday, we're going to know. We're going to know if that game means anything.
my boys got, I know y'all got commercials coming.
No, we good. We're fine.
Celtics tonight, Knicks Sunday, Warriors Thunder.
Man.
Look, if y'all don't handle business.
Hey, we got Washington, Charlotte.
Murderers Row. Everybody's Murderers Row going against the Kings.
Man. That's what it is.
Hey, did you see Shador throw today? He looked like a Raider to me. Come on, man.
Hey, man, come on. I don't think New York let him get by him. He might go to Cleveland, but I don't think New York let him get by him if he gets to that.
I'm dying to see. Did you see the Geno extension? Did you see the numbers of him and Darnold are like the same?
Yeah.
It's basically the same numbers. Yeah. What I read was Darnold has I guess Seattle can get out next year if they needed to.
Mm. Yeah.
We don't know when the Raiders can get out yet.
Well, they said the Raiders essentially can be a 1 year like $60 million, but which it sounds crazier than it is, but they can get out quick.
So that means the extension they gave him some comfy money because he has 1 year left on his deal. Mm. So if they give him that bonus, they give it all to him at once.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
That's a, I think that's a good deal.
I don't have no problem
that,
with it.
That to me, that opens the door for them to possibly take a Shador if he's available. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, you
I think that's the best case scenario for both Shador and the Raiders is a situation where this veteran quarterback already in place. He can take a year, maybe two, to get right. And also for the Raiders to like have that bridge and continue to try to compete. And they got to wait out some stuff in this division, whether they like it or not. So build for the future and keep moving. But I like what they're doing, man. I'm being a homer. I like what they're doing. We'll see what happens in the draft. And we'll see if I'm talking big.
They got to hit a couple. They got to hit a couple of solid doubles and triples in this draft to kind of make this thing come together a little bit.
They quietly had a good draft last year. If they have another good draft this year, then I'm like, all right, we're on the way to something. But the Raiders.
Let me ask you something as a Raider fan, though, because obviously the Kings have been just dreadful in the last couple of weeks, and this year has been frustrating, all this other stuff. So when things like that happen, it goes back to this is all Vivek's fault, right? And yesterday we made the comparison, like, is Vivek Mark Davis? Are you a Raiders fan that looks at, like, the troubles and the issues that they have and say, Mark Davis is at fault? Or sometimes I kind of make the argument, like, he just hires the wrong people because he does what everybody says to do, like, get your GM, get your coach, let them cook, stay out the way. It feels like Mark stays out the way. He just doesn't hire the right guy. Do you look at it that way?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's the most balanced way. And when I ask around, that's kind of what I hear about it, too, is he doesn't really knows his way into a lot of these conversations. Now, he has, like, this core group of Raider alumni he listens to and is a big part of his decision-making when he hires the personnel, but then he lets them cook. The mistake he makes is he gives them basically no time to do it. And sometimes it's warranted. You know, a couple of them coaches deserve to be fired. Gruden deserved to be fired. Like, McDaniels deserved to be fired. But I thought, you know, you got to give these GMs time to work through their picks, to fully put together the scene they're trying to put together. I hate when Raider fans are like, well, they had all this revenue. I'm not on the board for the Raiders. I get no points off that pack. I don't care how successful they are in the boardroom. I want to see wins. I want to see fun on that field. But, yeah, I think he's incredibly impatient. But I do give him credit to where he is handing it off to football guys. And whether they're the right or the wrong guys, we kind of don't know because of him, because he gets rid of them so fast. So
you know why I give him credit? He said at the meetings the other day, when asked about, because it's three coaches and GMs in like 3 years, and he didn't pass the buck. He was like, I didn't get it right.
Yep. And that's another thing I'll say. Like, he stood up in front of everybody and taken onus every step of the way. Whether you like him, dislike him, I can respect that. And it's a lot of responsibility being that. He could be Jerry Jones out there saying, y'all are wrong, I'm right, get over it, and just doing the same thing. He came up there and said, no, it's on me, we're going to try to get it better. And again, I think at the end of the day, he does want the Raiders to be better. He's not tanking the team. Whereas Jerry Jones, I'm not sure what the hell he's doing.
No one is.
There are worse places, but yeah, I just want to see some good competitive football from that team. I want my Sundays to be fun. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah. All right, my man. Go enjoy your weekend. We appreciate you, brother.
Yes,
my man.
See y'all soon, man.
All right. That's our man, Eddie Gonzalez, right there again. And he going to be with us. He going to be with us 2 days before that game.
I'm like, I don't know. I gave KD my Redfin password, so.
Jesus.
I mean, that's – and this has been talked about a little bit. Like, the Kings aren't playing good basketball at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if the Suns will win another game. Like, with KD out and that just, schedule, wow.
If the Kings making the play now feels so hollow. Because, like, a week ago, even a week and a half ago, it felt like, maybe for me. But, like, they feel like, all right, maybe they have a chance to get to the playoffs. But now it's like they get to the play, and I don't even expect them to beat Dallas. I think that's when their season ends. Like, it just feels hollow at this point.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. But it's also... And maybe there's a little NCAA tournament vibes here where anything, it's one game.
Yeah.
You're not opening the postseason, the play-in, like, it's not a play-in series.
Right.
It's one game. And if there's, you know, it's not happening very often with this basketball team right now, but it's one game. Can they, I don't know what to expect from them tonight. today. I have no idea what they're going to do an hour and 10 minutes from now. I can't confidently say they're going to beat Charlotte. We saw what we saw 2 days ago.
Right.
But if they do, great. If they come out and beat Detroit, like, all right. I we love you. We thank you for tuning into this show every day, especially Kings fans who are just suffering through this. From now until next Sunday, there's not going to be some, you know, big layout as to what's going on with the Kings. I don't know what to tell you on a day-to-day basis. I don't know what to expect on a game-to-game basis. So that's going to carry. All right, they made it to the 10th spot. They beat the Suns by a game or two. Great. They're going to play Dallas. Cool. We could match up this thing to death and go, well, Domas versus AD, this player versus that player. None of it matters. I don't know what to tell you if the Sacramento Kings play the Dallas Mavericks. If they win, great. What's next? They could pull off one of those type of wins. And then once they do that, then we start, you know, then we kind of settle in and try to figure out what a series looks like. And we start talking and do all of that stuff. But a game-to-game situation, I have no idea what to expect from this basketball team. Part of me wonders if a fight is going to break out with just Kings players.
Right. Now, see,
it's going to be that Pistons brawl the other day, except it's just going to be on one side of the court, and Charlotte's going to be looking like, what the hell is wrong with them?
Now, see, that's the thing that I worry about. I agree with you. You never know what you're going to see with this team, never know what you're going to get. But the thing that is concerning to me is I don't even know if these guys care about playing, you know, these games with each other anymore.
Yeah.
And that is, if I knew that they still, as a collective, wanted to keep this thing going and wanted to play, I would feel a lot more confident than most people do.
Yeah.
Not that they're going to win or whatever, but I'd still have the same feeling like, hey, you never know what you're going to get. But I'm like, if you get the good Kings, like they gonna be here and they're going to fight. What we saw in Orlando and on Wednesday was just a team that just, it felt like they are done with each other, which is always so tough to say and so tough to talk about, because you go back to, what was that, Thursday against Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't feel like that.
No, Thursday.
They had fun. They played well. Obviously, they won. But they're, you know, I think about guys that don't want to play each other, even when things are going good, like, mm-hmm. They just kind of half-assed the celebrations or whatever. No, they had a good time. They had a good time out there. Even the second half of the OKC game, it looked like they banded together and looked like they were out there to compete. And I don't know. Is it like the wrestling, the plane ride from hell? Was that what Orlando was?
Maybe it was. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, because Indiana.
Yeah.
They played well versus Indiana. Yeah. And in Indiana, so the Blazers game was a killer because we – I don't know that you necessarily agreed, but I felt in that moment at this time of year, the talent on the Sacramento Kings was better than the talent on Portland. And you are in a 3-game skid, 4-game skid, whatever it was at the time. You're closing out this homestand. You're getting ready to hit the road. You need to beat a team that you're better than. And they did. Mm-hmm. And as bad as that week had been, I was like, all right, take a breath. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Then you go out and you get just embarrassed by Orlando. All right, don't know what to do with that. You come out and you play well against Indiana. Indiana now feels like the Clippers. Mm. This team, I feel like, gets deflated after they lose games that they, you know, the Clippers game. It's probably unfair for, you know, a dude who sits around and talks and jokes with everybody for 4 hours to say you probably should have won that game. Like you had done enough. Yep. You were in position. Like, I understand that overturned DeMar DeRozan call was an absolute game changer, but you were still up, I think, 5 when that happened.
Yep.
And then and then you lose to Washington. Mm. I don't know what to say. Like, it feels like they have these demoralizing victories, these demoralizing defeats, and it sits with them. Mm. And that's what Washington felt like. Like, they never looked good. Regardless of the fact, my stupid ass did think, they're not going to lose this game. Like, someone on this team is going to do something
right
in the fourth quarter to make sure that they win.
DeMar almost did it.
He almost, but didn't. Yeah. And, like, even though I thought that, I still recognized they look like crap. Like, they don't look good. Mm-hmm. So, and obviously they wound up not winning that game, and now it feels like, man, you had another demoralizing defeat that is just sitting with you.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I've looked for what's possible from this team as much as possible throughout all this. The way they looked on Wednesday. And then you combine that with Sunday. I know Monday's in there as well, and they competed, but you kind of look at Wednesday and Saturday, and it's like, it just feels like these guys are ready to be done. They just ready to be done with the season, with each other. They just want to go home, and I can't have as much optimism in them as I had before.
Yeah,
but it's also one of those things, like you said, if you can get to that play-in, if you told me the Kings won two games, I would not be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Two games against, like, you beat a Mavericks team.
It'll be one really good team.
Yeah, yeah. You tell me they beat the Lakers, knock them out. Oh, wow. Oh, man, that'd be a good time. That'd be a good time.
Yeah, it wouldn't suck.
They can get swept. They can get swept.
Oh, yeah.
He knocked the Lakers out. Lakers or Warriors, either one of those two knocked them out. Oh, man.
We'll come back. Well, I think the Warriors have their sights up.
Yeah.
And in the process. Let's take a quick look before we go to break. Let's take a quick look at the Lakers' schedule. We just did this. They have the two against Oklahoma City.
Tough games and then easy games.
Yeah, they got the Pelicans tonight, which is the second night of a back-to-back. They got the two against Oklahoma City. Dallas, Houston was the other tough one you were talking about. And then they end the season with Portland. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk Kings basketball, NBA basketball. We threw James out. We're going to find a way to have some fun. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk about how rich Kenny is when we get back here. We still haven't discussed that. We will do that next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.